This morning's public reading comes from 1 Samuel this morning, chapter 11, and we're going to go finish up 11, and then we're going to go somewhat into chapter 12 here this morning. So, 1 Samuel, chapter 11, we're going to pick up with verses 12, and then we're going to continue into chapter 12, verse 5. So, 1 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 12. And the people said unto Samuel, Who is he that said, Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men, that we may put them to death. And Saul said, There shall not a man be put to death this day. For today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, Come, and let us go to Gilgal, and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal. And there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed as a peace offering before the Lord. And there Saul, and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice, and all that ye have said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you. And I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Now notice this. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, that refers to the king. Whose ox have I taken? Whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. Amen. Please be seated, and may God bless his word. We have two parts here. Okay? We have the final result of the victory over the Ammonites. Okay? That's what we find in the tail end of verses 12 to 15 of chapter 11. But then in chapter 12, these five verses, beloved, you talk about a bold question on the part of any man. That's a very bold question to make before a full house of people. And we're going to look at that here shortly. Now, getting back to chapter 11. Remember how chapter 11 ended, where some of the people, even though Saul granted a victory or gave a victory over the Ammonites with the assistance of God himself, all of that great victory, there was still a handful of certain people that were called the sons of Belial who really disdained King Saul and looked at him and said, You want me to submit to such a one? And they gave no presents at his initial ordination as king, his anointing. And it left a sour note in some people, as we shall see. Notice verse 12. And the people said unto Samuel, Who is he that said, Shall Saul reign over us? Okay, these people are asking a question to Samuel about the certain sons of Belial who disdained Saul despite the victory and disdained him being king over them. And they showed that disdainment by bringing nothing at his crowning, at his anointing over the people. So here are the pro-Saul people. They're waving their flag. And they go to Samuel and say, Who are these jokers? Who are these clowns who talked with such disparity over Saul? Notice, bring them and let's put them to death. Wow. You got to admit, these were fans. I mean, these were, you know, just like today, people who have certain sports teams, they'll scream and they'll shout. Even if the team loses poorly, they're still devoted to that team. These guys here, they were devoted to Saul. To the point, let's bring these sons of Belial. Let's round them up and let's string them up. Now, notice again, the early days of King Saul. Notice the king's response. Saul said, "There shall not a man be put to death this day. For today the Lord had wrought salvation or deliverance in Israel." Now, we're not talking about salvation from sin and hell. We're talking about a physical, literal deliverance from an invading people. So here's an example where salvation sometimes is not referring to the saving of one's soul from the penalty of sin. Here is an example of where salvation is used in a more physical, literal sense, in this case, from an invading army that could have done a whole lot of damage and caused a whole lot of carnage and death and destruction. Then said Samuel to the people, "Okay, thank you, King Saul. I believe that's some sound advice. Let's come, let's go to Gilgal, and notice, we're going to renew the kingdom. We're going to renew Saul's position in the kingdom now much more established than it was when the sons of Belial had their little bit of disdainment. We're going to make it all the more official. We're going to renew the kingdom." And how was that done? All the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And they did it with sacrifices of peace offering before the Lord and before Saul. And all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So Saul here is anointed a second time with much, it would apparently seem, more fanfare. More solidifying his position on the throne, if you will. At this point, there seems to be no one now so bold as to become a fly in the ointment in the kingdom. The kingdom has been renewed, basically reestablished, reconfirmed, made solid, made sure at this point in Saul's early career as king. All right? But now, verse 12. Samuel said unto all Israel, "Behold, I've given you what you wanted. You've asked for a king, and I've given you a king." All right? It's settled. The kingdom has been settled. "I'm now old. I'm gray-headed. My sons are with you." And remember, his sons were not popular. They were not popular. That's why the people says, "We want a king. We don't want your two sons to take over after you're gone." So that kind of precipitated this demand of a king. Okay. And he says, "I have walked before you from all of my childhood, from this day." So that means you got to go all the way back to 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Okay. Excuse me. What does he do? He opens himself up to any possible criticism from his childhood to his old age. Notice, "Behold, here I am." He almost puts himself in the witness box as if he's on trial. "Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed." He is now calling upon the people to bring up any and all accusations against him from childhood to this spot in his life. Would any one of us dare do that on our own? Wow. And he even gives them examples. "Have I stolen anyone's ox? Have I taken anyone's ass or donkey? Have I defrauded any one of you? Have I oppressed any one of you beyond measure? whose hand have I received any bribe as the last judge of Israel in this transition from the judges to the kings? Have I taken any bribe to blind Lady Justice? And I will give it back to you. Which one of us would be so bold as to open our lives from childhood until now and ask anyone to bring any accusation against us? Whether it's stealing a pen from the office desk or whatever. Stealing a pack of gum while standing in the line to check out. And they said, notice his testimony. You haven't defrauded any one of us. You haven't oppressed any one of us. And you have not taken anything out of anyone's hands. And then what does he say in verse 5? You know what he says? The matter is closed then. My life is now closed. In the sense, the Lord has witnessed against you and against the anointed in witnessing this day that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered and said, he is witness. It's almost as if Samuel has put the last nail in the coffin to anyone bringing up anything against him. Can any one of us stand such a test like this? The only other person who was able to even exceed Samuel would be the greater Samuel, the Lord Jesus, when he asked the people, which one of you convinces me of sin? He also says, the wicked one has come and has found nothing in me. Pilate's wife called him an innocent man. The centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. Pilate said, his blood is innocent. How many people witness to the sinless perfection of the Lamb of God? So Jesus can now be said to be the greater Samuel in prophetic light. Samuel was a picture of the Christ who was to come. By looking at his ability to look at people and say, which one of you can convict me of any sin, of any crime? And they said, none. Jesus outshines, outstrips Samuel as the greater Samuel of the New Testament. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.